84. The One Who Saves. 84. From the diagram, Book of the Second Ceiling Rotation, Pattern 15.
The stone block slid inward, confirming Shallan's deduction. They had opened a building that hadn't been entered or even seen for centuries. Renarin stepped back from the hole he'd made, giving Shallan a chance to step forward. The air from inside smelled stale, musty. Renarin dismissed his blade, and, oddly as he did so, he let out a relieved sigh and relaxed against the outer wall of the building. Shallan moved to enter, but the bridgeman slipped in front of her to check the building's safety first, raising sapphire lanterns. The light revealed majesty. Shallan's breath caught in her throat. The large circular room was a space worthy of a palace or temple. A mosaic mural covered the wall and floor with majestic images and dazzling color. Knights in armor stood before swirling skies of red and blue. People from all walks of life were depicted in all manner of settings, each crafted from vivid colors of every kind of stone, a masterwork that brought the whole world into one room. Worried she'd damaged the portal somehow, she'd placed Renarin's cuts near a ripple that she had hoped indicated a doorway, and it seemed that she'd been correct. She entered through the hole and walked a curving path through the circular chamber, silently counting the divisions in the floor mural. There were 10 main ones, just as there had been 10 orders of knights, 10 kingdoms, 10 peoples. And then, between the segments representing the first and tenth kingdoms, was a narrower 11th section. It depicted a tall tower, Urethiru. She'd found it, the portal. And this artwork, such beauty. It was breathtaking. No, there wasn't time to admire art right now. The large floor mosaic swirled around the center, but the swords of each knight pointed toward the same area of the wall, so Shallan walked in that direction. Everything in here seemed perfectly preserved, even the lamps on the walls, which appeared to still hold dun gemstones. On the wall she found a metal disc set into the stone. Was this steel? It hadn't rusted or even tarnished, despite its long abandonment. "It's coming," Renarin announced from the other side of the room, his quiet voice echoing across the domed chamber. Storms that boy was disturbing, particularly when accompanied by a howling storm and the sound of rain pelting the plateau outside. Brightness, Inadara, and several scholars arrived. Stepping into the chamber, they gasped, and then began talking over one another as they rushed to examine the mural. Shallan studied the strange disc set into the wall. It was shaped like a 10-pointed star and had a thin slot directly in the center. The Radiance could operate this place, she thought. And what did the Radiance have that nobody else did? Many things. But the shape of that slot in the metal gave her a pretty good guess why only they could make the Oath Gate work. Renarin, get over here, Shallan said. The boy clomped in her direction. Shallan, Pattern said warningly. Time is very short. They have summoned the Everstorm, and And there's something else coming from the other direction. A high storm? It's the weeping, Shallan said, looking to Pattern, who dimpled the wall just beside the steel disc. No high storms. One is coming anyway. Shallan, they're going to hit together. Two storms coming, one from each direction. They will crash into each other right here. I don't suppose they'll just, you know, cancel each other out. They will feed each other, Pattern said. It will be like two waves hitting with their peaks coinciding. It will create a storm like none the world has ever seen. Stone will shatter. Plateaus themselves might collapse. It's going to be bad. Very, very bad. Shallan looked to Inadara, who had walked up beside her. Thoughts? I don't know what to think, Brightness, Inadara said. You were right about this place. I no longer trust myself to judge what is correct and what is false. We need to move the armies to this plateau, Shallan said. Even if they defeat the Parshendi, they're doomed unless we can make this portal work. It doesn't look like a portal at all, Inadara said. What will it do? Open a doorway in the wall? I don't know, Shallan said, looking to Renarin. Summon your shard blade. He did so, wincing as it appeared. Shallan pointed at the slot like a keyhole in the wall, acting on a hunch. See if you can scratch that metal with your blade. Be very careful. We don't want to ruin the Oath Gate in case I'm wrong. Renarin stepped up and carefully, using his hand to pinch the weapon from above, placed the tip of the blade on the metal around the keyhole. He grunted as the blade wouldn't cut. He tried a little harder, and the metal resisted the blade. Made of the same stuff, Shallan said, growing excited. And that slot is shaped like it might fit a blade. Try sliding the weapon in very slowly. He did so, and as the point moved into the hole, the entire shape of the keyhole shifted, the metal flowing to match the shape of Renarin's shard blade. It was working. He got the weapon placed, and they turned around, looking over the chamber. Nothing appeared to have changed. Did that do anything? Renarin asked. It has to have, Shallan said. They'd unlocked a door, perhaps. But how to turn the equivalent of the doorknob? We need High Lady Navani to help, Shallan said. More importantly, we need to bring everyone here. Go, soldiers, bridgemen. Run and tell Dalinar to gather his armies on this plateau. Tell him that if he doesn't, they are doomed. The rest of you scholars, we're going to put our heads together and figure out how this storming thing works.
Adolin danced through the storm, trading blows with Eshonai. She was good, though she didn't use stances he recognized. She dodged back and forth, feeling him out with her blade, bursting through the storm like a crackling thunderbolt. Adolin kept after her, sweeping with his shard blade, forcing her away. A duel. He could win a duel. Even in the middle of a storm, even against a monster, this was something he could do. He backed her away across the battlefield, closer to where his armies had crossed the chasm to join this battle. She was difficult to maneuver. He had only met this Eshonai twice, but he felt he knew her through the way she fought. He sensed her eagerness for blood, her eagerness to kill, the thrill. He did not feel it himself, he sensed it in her. Around him, Parshendi fled or fought in pockets as his men harried them. He passed a Parshendi forced to the ground by soldiers, being gutted in the rain as he tried to crawl away. Water and blood splashed on the plateau, frantic yells sounding amid the thunder. Thunder. Distant thunder. From the west. Adolin glanced in that direction and nearly lost his concentration. He could see it building. Wind and rain spinning in a gigantic pillar, flashing red. Eshonai swung for him, and Adolin turned back, blocking the blow with his forearm. That section of his plate was getting weak, the cracks leaking stormlight. He stepped into the blow and swung his own blade one-handed into Eshenai's side. He was rewarded by a grunt. She didn't fold, though. She didn't even step back. She raised her blade and smashed it down against his forearm yet again. The plate there disappeared in a flash of light and molten metal. Storms. Adolin was forced to pull the arm back and release the gauntlet, now too heavy without the connecting plate to help it, letting it drop off his hand. The wind that blew against his exposed skin was startlingly powerful. A little more, Adolin thought, not backing away despite the lost section of plate. He grabbed his shard blade in two hands, one metal, the other flesh, and battered forward with a series of strikes. He transitioned out of wind stance. No sweeping majesty for him. He needed the frantic fury of flame stance, not just for the power, but because of what he needed to convey to Eshenai. Eshenai growled, forced backward. "Your day has ended, destroyer," she said inside her helm. "Today your brutality turns against you. Today extinction turns from us to you." "A little more." Adolin pressed her with a burst of swordplay, then he flagged, presenting her with an opening. She took it immediately, swinging for his helm, which leaked from an earlier blow. Yes, she was fully caught up in the thrill. That lent her energy and strength, but it drove her to recklessness, to ignore her surroundings. Adolin took the hit to the head and stumbled. Eshenai laughed with glee and moved to swing again. Adolin lunged forward and slammed his head and shoulder into her chest. His helm exploded from the force of it, but his gambit succeeded. Eshenai had not noticed how close they were to the chasm. His shove threw her over the plateau's edge. He felt Eshenai's panic, heard her shout as she was dropped into the open blackness. Unfortunately, the exploding helm left Adolin momentarily blinded. He stumbled, and when he put a foot down, it landed only on empty air. He lurched, then fell toward the void of the chasm. For a timeless moment, all he felt was panic and fright, a frozen eternity, before he realized he wasn't falling. His vision cleared, and he looked down into the maw before him, rain falling in curtains all around. Then he looked back over his shoulder, to where two bridgemen had grabbed hold of the steel link skirt of his plate and were struggling to hold him back from the brink. Grunting, they clung to the slick metal, holding tight with feet thrust against stones to keep from being pulled off with him. Other soldiers materialized, rushing to help. Hands grabbed Adolin around the waist and shoulders, and together they hauled him back from the brink of the void, to the point that he was able to get his balance again and stumble away from the chasm. Soldiers cheered, and Adolin let out an exhausted laugh. He turned to the bridgeman, Scar and Drahi. "I guess," Adolin said, "I don't need to wonder if you two can keep up with me or not." "That was nothing," Scar said. "Yeah," Drahi added. "Lifting fat light eyes is easy. You should try a bridge sometime." Adolin grinned, then wiped water from his face with his exposed hand. "See if you can find a chunk of my helm or forearm piece. Regrowing the armor will go faster if we've got a seed. Collect my gauntlet, too, if you would." The two nodded. That red lightning in the sky was building, and that spinning column of dark rain was expanding, growing outward. That did not seem like a good sign. He needed a better grasp on what was happening in the rest of the army. He jogged across the bridge to the central plateau. Where was his father? What was happening on Aladar's and Royan's fronts? Had Shallan returned from her expedition? Everything seemed chaotic here on the central plateau. The rising winds tore at tents, and some of them had collapsed. People ran this way and that. Adolin spotted a figure in a thick cloak, striding purposefully through the rain. That person looked like he knew what he was doing. Adolin caught his arm as he passed. "Where's my father?" he asked. "What orders are you delivering?" The hood of the cloak fell down, and the man turned to regard Adolin with eyes that were slightly too large, too rounded. A bald head. Filmy, loose clothing beneath the cloak. The assassin in white. Moash stepped forward, but did not summon his shard blade. Kaladin struck with his spear, but it was futile. He'd used what strength he had merely to remain upright. His spear glanced off Moash's helm, and the former bridgeman slapped a fist down on the weapon, shattering the wood. Kaladin lurched to a stop, but Moash wasn't done. He stepped forward and slammed an armored fist into Kaladin's gut. Kaladin gasped, folding as things broke inside of him. Ribs snapped like twigs before that impossibly strong fist. Kaladin coughed, spraying blood across Moash's armor, then groaned as his friend stepped back, removing his fist. Kaladin collapsed to the cold stone floor, everything shaking. His eyes felt like they'd pop from his face, and he curled around his broken chest, trembling. "Storms," Moash's voice was distant. "That was a harder blow than I intended."
"You did what you had to, Graves."
"Oh, Stormfather. The pain."
"Now what, Moash?"
"We end this. Kill the king with a shard blade. It will still look like the assassin, hopefully. Those blood trails are frustrating. They might make people ask questions. Here, let me cut down these boards so it looks like he came in through the wall like last time."
Cold air. Rain. Yelling? Very distant? He knew that voice.
"Syl?"
Kaladin whispered, blood on his lips.
"Syl?"
Nothing.
"I ran until I couldn't any longer," Kaladin whispered. "End of the race.
Life before death."
"I will do it, Graves. I will bear this burden."
"It is my right," Moash said. He blinked, eyes resting on the king's unconscious body just beside him, still breathing.
"I will protect those who cannot protect themselves."
It made sense now, why he'd had to make this choice. Kaladin rolled to his knees. Graves and Moash were arguing.
"I have to protect him,"
Kaladin whispered. "Why?"
"If I protect,"
he coughed.
"If I protect only the people I like, it means that I don't care about doing what is right."
If he did that, he only cared about what was convenient for himself. That wasn't protecting. That was selfishness. Straining, agonized, Kaladin raised one foot, the good foot. Coughing blood, he shoved himself upward and stumbled to his feet between Elokar and the assassins. Fingers trembling, he felt at his belt and, after two tries, got his side knife out. He squeezed out tears of pain and through blurry vision saw the two shardbearers looking at him. Moash slowly raised his faceplate, revealing a stunned expression.
"Stormfather! Cal! How are you standing?"
It made sense now. That was why he'd come back. It was about Tien, it was about Dalinar, and it was about what was right. But most of all, it was about protecting people. This was the man he wanted to be. Kaladin moved one foot back, touching his heel to the king, forming a battle stance. Then raised his hand before him, knife out. His hand shook like a roof rattling from thunder. He met Moash's eyes. Strength before weakness.
"You will not have him."
"Finish this, Moash," Graves said.
"Storms," Moash said. "There's no need. Look at him. He can't fight back."
Kaladin felt exhausted. At least he'd stood up. It was the end. The journey had come and gone. Shouting. Kaladin heard it now, as if it were closer.
"He is mine," a feminine voice said. "I claim him."
"He betrayed his oath."
"He has seen too much," Graves said to Moash. "If he lives this day, he'll betray us. You know my words are true, Moash. Kill him."
The knife slipped from Kaladin's fingers, clanging to the ground. He was too weak to hold it. His arm flopped back to his side, and he stared down at the knife, dazed.
I don't care.
He will kill you.
I'm sorry, Cal, Moash said, stepping forward. I should have made it quick at the start.
The words, Kaladin.
That was Syl's voice.
You have to speak the words.
I forbid this.
Your will matters not, Syl shouted. You cannot hold me back if he speaks the words. The words, Kaladin. Say them.
I will protect even those I hate,
Kaladin whispered through bloody lips.
So long as it is right.
A shard blade appeared in Moash's hands. A distant rumbling. Thunder.
The words are accepted,
the Stormfather said reluctantly.
Kaladin!
Syl's voice.
Stretch forth thy hand!
She zipped around him, suddenly visible as a ribbon of light.
I can't,
Kaladin said, drained.
Stretch forth thy hand!
He reached out a trembling hand. Moash hesitated. Wind blew in the opening in the wall, and Syl's ribbon of light became mist, a form she often took. Silver mist, which grew larger, coalesced before Kaladin, extending into his hand. Glowing, brilliant, a shard blade emerged from the mist, vivid blue light shining from swirling patterns along its length. Kaladin gasped a deep breath as if coming fully awake for the first time. The entire hallway went black as the stormlight in every lamp down the length of the hall winked out. For a moment, they stood in darkness. Then Kaladin exploded with light. It erupted from his body, making him shine like a blazing white sun in the darkness. Moash backed away, face pale in the white brilliance, throwing up a hand to shade his eyes. Pain evaporated like mist on a hot day. Kaladin's grip firmed upon the glowing shard blade, a weapon beside which those of Graves and Moash looked dull. One after another, shutters burst open, and down the hallway, wind screaming into the corridor. Behind Kaladin, frost crystallized on the ground, growing backward away from him. A glyph formed in the frost, almost in the shape of wings. Graves screamed, falling in his haste to get away. Moash backed up, staring at Kaladin.
The night's radiant, Kaladin said softly, have returned.
Too late,
Graves shouted. Kaladin frowned, then glanced at the king.
The diagram spoke of this,
Graves said, scuttling back along the corridor.
We missed it. We missed it completely. We focused on making certain you were separated from Dalinar, and not on what our actions might push you to become.
Moash looked from Graves back at Kaladin. Then he ran, plate clinking as he turned and dashed down the corridor and disappeared.
Kaladin,
Syl's voice spoke in his head.
Something is still very wrong. I feel it on the winds.
Graves laughed like a madman.
Separating me, Kaladin whispered. From Dalinar? Why would they care?
He turned, looking eastward.
Oh, no.